Okay, well, for our guests, we are going through the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. We are currently in Samuel chapter 16. Up to this point, we have met the characters of Hannah and her son Samuel, a little bit Eli and his ne'er-do-well sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and then Israel's first king, King Saul. Where we are at in the book right now, Saul has been rejected as king by the Lord. He is still the king, and he will remain king for several years yet, but the Lord has left him. He has lifted his Holy Spirit from Saul, and Saul is basically on his own at this point. And God is raising up someone new. Saul was the choice of the people. Saul was tall, dark, and handsome. He looked good in the photo ops. And so he was, do you need a visual on that? I've already given you that. Okay, so anyway, now God is raising up a man of his choosing. And it's a young boy at this point. And his name is David. Now, one of the themes that is continuing to run through the book of 1 Samuel is that God is always at work, that God is in the mix, that God is providential, that he is sovereign, that he is in control, even when it doesn't look like it. Even when Saul is messing up and causing problems, God is still in control. God is the true leader of the nation of Israel. But because Saul is being replaced, Samuel is very sad. He really liked Saul. They had a connection. But he sees his friend, Samuel sees his friend, King Saul, falling. He sees him failing. And it says that he is overcome with grief and remorse about Saul's failure. So chapter 16 starts with the Lord coming to Samuel and saying to Samuel, how long will you grieve? You know, Saul is getting what he deserves. It's time to move on. I am raising up a new leader, and you're going to have a hand in that as well. So God told Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem, and there you're going to offer a sacrifice, a Thanksgiving sacrifice, and invite everyone to come and join in on that sacrifice. Now, when a sacrifice, when a sin atonement sacrifice is made to the Lord, the entire animal is consumed and burnt as an offering to the Lord. But several other sacrifices, Thanksgiving sacrifices, or a sacrifice for dedication or consecration, a portion of the animal is burnt to the Lord, but then another portion is reserved aside for the people to share in and to kind of have a celebration, a ceremony, a party. And that is what's going to happen here in Bethlehem. I want you to go there and have a sacrifice of consecration, because there you are going to anoint the new king. So Samuel goes off to Bethlehem. He prepares the sacrifice. He calls all the people together. Jesse comes with his seven sons, and they are a good-looking bunch of guys. Okay, and he makes the sacrifice and gets ready then to anoint the new king. So he has the seven sons of Jesse. The Lord had told him, I'm going to pick one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king. So he starts with the oldest, and they start parading by Samuel. Well, the first one comes, and he's rather Saul-like. He's also tall and handsome and good-looking. And Samuel says, well, this has got to be the guy right here from the start. He's the best looking of them all. Do you need another visual?
Yeah.
Okay. So, but the Lord says, no, And this is what the Lord says. He says, the Lord does not look on the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So he goes through these seven sons of Jesse, and the Lord says, no, it's none of them. So Samuel is somewhat perplexed, I'm thinking, and he asks Jesse, well, is this it? Is this all of your sons? And Jesse, rather reluctantly, it seems, mentions, well, no, there is one more. Let's read about that in verses 10 to 12. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Well, there is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, arise and anoint him. This is the one. Okay, at this point, where it says here that David was had fine appearance and handsome features, this is more about talking about a young boy who is brimming with excitement and health. Okay, we have a couple of those that run around here once in a while. And at this point, David is probably, if we count backwards by the age of when he actually did take role as kingship, he's 10 to 15 years old during this time. So we'll say that he's about 12 and a half. Okay, so he's a young boy, and he is brimming with health and excitement and enthusiasm, and he is the one that the Lord has chosen, because the Lord is beginning to look even upon David's heart at this time. And this is why this week when we had VBS, it just drives home how important it is to get the Word of God into young hearts and minds. Because you never know what might take root at that young age and flourish then for a lifetime, might grow up to be a man like King David. Okay, so the Lord is looking upon David's heart. He has chosen him. Samuel arises, anoints David, and it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him powerfully, even at this young age. Now, it seems that Jesse was a little bit embarrassed at first to even mention that he had one more son. Perhaps this is because he was the youngest. He was, at this point, you know, the runt of the family. Also, he was out tending the sheep. And shepherds were kind of the lowest class of people at this time. Any family that could afford it would have had a servant tending the sheep, not one of the sons. But apparently the family maybe was struggling, they didn't have the funds, so he appointed David to be out watching the sheep. Then when they had the sacrificial feast that Samuel came to offer, David wasn't even invited. He was out there, you know, somebody's going to watch the sheep, and you're the runt, so you're going to do it. You're the one who's going to watch the sheep. So he was kind of left out of that whole thing. It wasn't because of his character or his conduct that he was unworthy. It was simply because he was the youngest, and he was doing what was maybe considered demeaning work. Alan Redpath, who used to be the pastor of Moody Church, said, you may not be intellectual or well thought of in your family circle. You may be despised by others for your faith in Christ. Perhaps you had only a little share in the love of your parents, as David did. But remember, those who are rejected of men often become beloved of the Lord. David was young, but even at his young age, he was being prepared for something great. He was out tending the sheep, but he was preparing for greatness without even knowing it. David was a shepherd who became a king. Peter was a fisherman who became a fisher of men. Matthew was a tax collector who became a leader of men. Even Jesus was a carpenter who became the greatest fixer of lives that ever lived. So, as we go through this, I want you to think about the things that you have experienced in life, the training that you have, the interests you have, the passions you've had, the things that you know, the experiences you've had, the heartaches you've had, the sorrows you've had, and how all of those things have come into your life, I think, for a purpose, that you may now be who you are, that the Lord may use you to influence other lives to further his kingdom. So a couple of things that I think we can learn from David as he's out there watching the sheep. And the first one is that he was faithful in the small things. His brothers were back at the ranch. They were enjoying the party, but David was out there watching sheep. I can imagine as a young boy, he's thinking, boy, there's a lot of other things I'd rather be doing than watching sheep all day long. And, sheep can be messy. They can be dirty. They can be stinky. They can be unruly. They need a shepherd. They're sort of like people. And so David is out there and he's watching them sheep while all his friends are probably at the pool or playing baseball. His brothers are back enjoying the party and he's watching sheep. But he is doing it. He is being faithful to the small things. He's being obedient to his father. And his father told him to go watch the sheep, and he did it. He's beginning to realize that whatever I do, I should do it faithfully. I should do it as unto the Lord. Let's look at Matthew 25, 21. And this is a parable about a man who owned some property, and he was going to leave town for a while, and he put some people, put some of his servants in charge of different aspects of his business. And to one of them who was faithful while the master was gone, he gave this reply. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things or in the small things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then in a little longer passage, in this same chapter, chapter 25 of Matthew, we read a story about the Lord talking to some of his servants. Matthew 25, 34, or we'll start 32. All the nations will be gathered before him. This is the Lord at the time of judgment. Okay, so all the nations, all the people will be gathered before the Lord, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, or invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." This is a story of people just taking care of business, being careful of others, being caring for others. But then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And we can almost hear the Lord saying these same things to David. And David would answer, well, when did I see you needing shepherding? When did I see you needing to be cared for, needing to be protected? And the Lord would say, when you were taking care of those sheep, you were taking care of me because you were doing it as unto me. So David was a faithful man. Benjamin Franklin said this, for the want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For the want of the shoe, the horse was lost. For the want of the horse, the rider was lost, being overtaken and slain by the enemy. All for the want of care about a horseshoe nail. So it's important to take care of the little things in life, to be faithful, even though it may seem boring, it may seem mundane. Read the book of First Chronicles. Okay. Life may be mundane and boring at times. J.I. Packer also said this, but the Lord does not send us out on his work in order that nothing may happen. His word is intended to have impact. It's sent out to accomplish something. We ought never to settle for a non-expectant, defeated attitude. Rather, we should be asking and expecting great things from the Lord. So as we are taking care of business, as we are being faithful in the little things, just doing what needs to be done, also be expecting that the Lord is preparing us for something greater, and he may call us into service at any time. The second thing that David had time to do while he was out there watching the sheep was to take time with the Lord. David spent a lot of time looking over the sheep, but also at looking at God's glory. As we recited together Psalm 8, it is a psalm of David's heart about the things that he had seen, about the glory of creation, when he considered the stars and the suns and the moon and just all of the things that God had done. And he saw the Lord in that, and the Lord was speaking to David through that. David would go on to compose many, many songs. And through that, we see just so many glimpses of what David experienced in his young life as he was a faithful shepherd. And another one of those is Psalm 19. We'll just read verses 1 to 4. And again, you can just picture David out there watching the sheep, you know, staying overnight with the sheep, watching the stars and maybe looking for the northern lights. We got up the last couple of nights looking for northern lights. They said the activity was high. It was not. But anyway, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. And this psalm goes on to just declare David's appreciation for God, David's appreciation for God's creation that he is allowed to experience. So David is mingling his life with God's life. And I encourage you to do that as you read Scripture, to take Scripture and to say, Lord, apply this to my life. Mingle this with my life. And as we go out and we look at the things, at the beauty of creation, at the beauty of friendships and of love, and all of these things that God has gifted us to, be appreciative of those things. Mingle it with your life. Through doing this, David was filled with great perception. He was filled with wisdom. He was filled with the Word of God, and the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God does not return void. So no matter what you are facing, I encourage you to dig into God's word, to mine God's word for the answers, for encouragement, for the appreciation of the life that you live. It may take digging, but it is there. Just yesterday, I learned that there were a couple of gold mines here on the Garden Peninsula. Usually the gold is not sitting on the surface. You have to dig for it. You have to mine for it. And as you do, though, you will find it. So as you look into God's word, asking God to reveal his truth to you, he will. The third thing that we see from David as he's out here watching the sheep is that he cared about the sheep. First of all, it was sheep that he was watching over, and eventually it would be a nation. I think God prepared me in some ways for my role as a pastor by watching cows. And you learn how to take care of them, you learn how to look for certain things, and you it is all, there's really not that much difference between cows and people. But it's all good. It's all good. Okay. But he knew the sheep. He got to know the sheep. He spent all this time with the sheep. He knew each, I'm sure he knew each one of them individually. He could tell when one of them was not beginning to feel well. And you can, after you become familiar with spending that much time with animals, you know that. You see it. You see by the way they stand, by the way they act, by the way they interact with other people, how they're eating. And you become very familiar with this. And so David learned to be watchful. He learned to care. He learned to be a good shepherd. He also learned that through this, that God was his shepherd, that God was watching out for him. And during these years, God built in David the heart that would sing about the Lord as his shepherd. You can read that in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." David learned that, and David emulated that. He wanted that to be true in his life from the Lord, and from his life to the sheep, and eventually from his life to the people of Israel as he was their king. And then the fourth point, very closely related to caring, is to accept responsibility. Perhaps you've heard this before. This is a story about four people named somebody, everybody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it. Nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. That is not what David was doing. David saw what needed to be done, and he did it. When the sheep needed caring for, when the sheep needed protecting, we learn from Scripture that David fought off lions and bears and wolves that came to attack the sheep, and he did. He stood in the gap, and he protected his sheep. Let's look at John chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. And I think this illustrates very well what David was going through. But this is the Lord talking. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." David was more than a hired hand. He was their shepherd. And when the sheep needed shepherding, David stood in the gap and protected them. He learned to do the same thing then later in life when he became the king. He stood up for the people and he protected them. So David's years of standing out there in the field watching sheep, and he did it apparently for years, was not a wasted time. It was not just a waiting time. It was truly a training time for David. Some of the things I think that we go through in life, we might just as soon not. But yet God is using many of these things to train us, to be, to build into our lives things that we can share with others. In Psalm chapter 78, it very wonderfully ties together David's time as a shepherd with his time as a king. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands, he led them. But he learned those things even as a young man out there watching sheep. You've probably seen, we can put up that next thing. Okay, this is the way a lot of people order their lives, okay? With the Y being yourself, the O being others, and we'll say the J is for Jesus. Okay, and this makes no sense. Okay, I hope you are filled with yoj. Now, actually, what makes a lot more sense is to put Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself. And that is what David did. He learned that he had to be a faithful shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep, just as our Lord laid down his life for others. So this is kind of hokey and trivial and stuff, but I think it is also very true that if we want to our lives to go well, if we want to experience joy, if we just want life to work out, we need to put Jesus first, then care about others, and then ourselves will pretty much be taken care of in the mix. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your great example as our good shepherd. Lord, that you laid down your life for us, that our sins could be forgiven, that we might be assured of salvation. Help us, Lord, not to take this for granted, but to live it out by being faithful to the small things, by caring about others, by taking responsibility, by when we see a need, that we would try to meet it. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And thank you, Lord, for the time that we can now spend together in fellowship and enjoying a meal. I pray your blessing upon that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.